It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. Many Pittsburgh neighborhoods are experiencing a renaissance in new development. As new homes and businesses take shape, affordability is crucial in some low-income areas such as Uptown and Hazelwood. Pittsburgh Post-Gazette writer Diana Nelson-Jones has been following a group that takes an interesting approach to low-income housing, and she joins us here in Studio A along with Linda Metropolis, Director of Housing and Neighborhood Development at Action Housing, a nonprofit that uses sustainable design to build affordable communities. Diana Nelson-Jones, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you.
And Linda Metropolis, good to have you with us.
Thank you.
And if you have a comment or question for our guests, call us at 412-246-2002. That's 412-246-2002. Our email address is ESSPGH at WESA.FM. And you can reach us on Twitter at ESSPGH and follow the conversation at hashtag EPLive. Linda Metropolis, does the average person get that we are in a housing crisis right now in Pittsburgh?
I don't believe so.
And why is that? Why don't more people understand what's going on?
I don't believe it's been part of the dialogue, part of the discussion. We're moving forward with many new housing developments at this point. If you look at East Liberty, certainly Squirrel Hill, other neighborhoods, we see a lot of new housing coming on the market. Most of it is market rate and not scaled at a rent level that is affordable to people who are considered moderate to low income.
And a lot of the government housing is structured that way in terms of how you pay for your housing. But what your group is involved with is not subsidized housing.
That's right.
Who is it being built for?
The work of Action Housing is predominantly focused on households that are considered low income, meaning that their income is at 60% area median income. So for a one-person household, the median income in Pittsburgh is about $45,000 to $46,000 this year. And so we're building properties that are affordable and set aside to people who are making 60% of that, so about $27,000, $28,000 a year or less.
And what can you tell us about the project that's being constructed in Uptown?
We just broke ground about 3 weeks ago on Uptown Lofts on Fifth Avenue in the 2000 block of Fifth Avenue. We acquired land from that had been used as parking lots for some time. A lot of properties have been torn down in Lawrenceville and kind of land banked and held for parking purposes until other uses come along. And we are building 47 new units of housing across the street from one another. We're building two new buildings, each about 30,000 square feet. The building on the north side of the street is designed for young adults who've aged out of foster care. And that's a whole other topic.
Right.
I hope we can address somewhat. But
we've talked about that on the show, but we can certainly get to that point.
Okay. And then the building across the street will house 23 units, and that is, again, designed for people making 60% area median income or less and is considered workforce housing.
And I was going to bring this up later, but now that you've brought it up, this is very interesting because these are two very similar buildings you're talking about, and they're being built but to different standards. So talk about this and explain the differences here.
The backstory here is that Action Housing, 57-year-old organization, has long understood the need to control utility costs if you're going to continue to provide housing that's affordable. And so we do weatherization. We have our own properties we manage. We've upgraded. We're in the process of upgrading more to be energy efficient. And all of the new properties that we're developing are being built to meet and exceed current energy code. And so this particular project is designed to compare a very rigorous European standard called Passive House, which typically reduces energy demand by 90%.
How does it do that?
Well, let me finish. So
all
it's
right,
a comparison
ahead.
Between that type of construction mm-hmm. and 2012 energy code, which by itself is pretty rigorous and pretty good, and will have a very good performing, high performing building on the south side of the street, but we want to understand the difference between the two. Because in Europe, they've been building to passive house standards for about 12 years. It's much more of a known type of building, and we're really interested to see how and if we should be building to that standard on all the projects that we do moving forward. And so you do it basically through some very simple design elements. One is you create an envelope that is going to eliminate any bridges between the outside and the inside. So you're building this thermal envelope, floor, ceiling, walls, that is filled with insulation and
triple-paned windows.
Triple-paned windows, foundation insulation, great insulation in the roof and the walls, and really controlling the environments from the outside to the inside. And then you need to make sure that you introduce fresh air. And so that's how you basic principles, not very fancy mechanical equipment, pretty basic mechanical equipment, but really spending a lot of time maximizing passive solar passive solar elements, and then controlling the envelope.
And who's paying the utilities here? Is it the people that
Action Housing will own the building, manage it, and pay the utilities?
That, which is the case in most of that type of low income housing. Not always.
But
and so that's how you save money and
right.
make it affordable for everybody.
Exactly.
And certainly, Diana Nelson-Jones, I want to bring you into the conversation. Why is there such a lack of affordable housing being built in Pittsburgh?
Well,
these previous examples aside.
There are many – I think there are a number of reasons why. It's – well, a lot of units have been lost.
I'll kind of pull you along with this, because in Lawrenceville, for example, which Linda just mentioned as an example, that is a neighborhood that is really transformed.
Yes.
And so people can drive through and go, yay, look at all that's happening here. But then people become displaced, don't they? So that's part of the problem?
Well, most most developers really don't have that much incentive to build for poor people or for struggling people. And most of the housing that's being built now is for either high income or moderate income. We've seen disinvestment in lots of neighborhoods where mostly poor people live. And so, I don't really know exactly why there's a shortage. There are a number of tools people can use, including low income tax credits. And Action Housing has been using those, as well as other developers, to actually build housing for low-income people in various neighborhoods. Some really high-end developments, in fact, like the Miller School in the Hill District, the track development is done for low-income people that is just gorgeous. And you and I would both want to have an apartment in that place.
Hmm.
So there are people doing, I think what's happening, what is exciting to see, and what, as a reporter is fun to write about, is the number of people who are actually using these formulas and structures and tools to bring online more houses that, the average person can afford. And again, affordability is changing. I mean, we're not just talking about the poor. We're talking about middle income people who can't afford a house.
Well, I want to bring in someone who might fall into that category or is concerned about people in that category. Very quickly, Ayers in Monroeville. I hope I'm saying your name correctly.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, you are on the line. It's your time. Go ahead.
Right. I do fit into that category, and it makes me feel like we're burdened, or maybe we are burdened to the housing market. My wife and I both work. I'm a commercial truck driver. She works for Highmark Blue Cross Blue Shield. And, we're about, in the $60,000 range. But the thing is, I'm from the Hill District. I can't afford to live there because I don't qualify for low-income housing. And with my salary, rent is just far too high. I mean, $800-plus a month. I used to live in Lawrenceville as well. It's like a catch-22. I've been living in my apartment now. It's a two-bedroom apartment with my son and my wife and I. And we really can't afford to move because we don't qualify for any sort of subsidies, any programs or anything like that. And we're not necessarily ready to purchase a home.
All right.
So what do we do? You know, where do we fit in?
That's a great question. Let me jump in because we're almost out of time. But what, Linda, what should a young married couple that makes about $60,000 a year do to get a home in Pittsburgh?
He's absolutely right. There are opportunities if you have very low income, and there are opportunities if you have higher income. But it is that median income and above, that middle income household, that is really starting to see the squeeze in Pittsburgh, both in terms of apartments as well as new housing to buy.
Well, we're barely scratching the surface here. I wish we had more time, but we are out of time, unfortunately. Diana Nelson-Jones of the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, Linda Metropolis, Director of Housing and Neighborhood Development at Action Housing, thank you so much for joining us. Tomorrow on Essential Pittsburgh, we'll look at legislation introduced this week in the Pennsylvania legislature to legalize medical marijuana. Until then, I'm Paul Guggenheimer. So long for now.